More than 1,500 people, we're really changing subject now, have been killed during the current outbreak of Ebola in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which began in August 2018. But it was the first case detected last week in the city of Goma, home to about 2 million people on the border with Rwanda, that prompted the World Health Organization to declare the situation a public health emergency of international concern. The executive director of the WHO's Health Emergency Program, Dr. Mike Ryan, said the spread of the disease to Goma was a wake-up call.
There is an urgency about the response now. The urgency is the urgency to grasp hold of the opportunity of success, not to give in to the possibility of failure. We have that opportunity still. Now is the time to stop this virus, and Goma is a warning, and that warning may result in more cases. We hope it doesn't because of the preparedness.
However, the World Health Organization said regional borders would not be closed because that would damage economies across the region. Benjamin Black is a UK-based obstetrician and gynaecologist who worked in West Africa throughout the big Ebola epidemic between 2014 and 2016. He assisted in the management and opening of large Ebola treatment centres in the region, and he joins us in the studio now. Welcome, Benjamin. What difference do you think this declaration of a public health emergency of international concern will actually make? They're not closing borders.
Yes, I mean, with a public health emergency of international concern, the intention is not to close borders, and that's a very clear point in when the general director of the WHO makes the announcement in any circumstances, including during the West African outbreak, is that this order is to do a couple of things. One is to be a wake-up call to the international community to ensure that they understand that this is an extraordinary event, that this poses a public health risk internationally, and that it requires a coordinated response internationally. But what it doesn't mean is that we should be inflicting any sort of restrictions on the area that's most affected by the outbreak that might have a detriment to the population.
How significant are these cases in Goma in particular?
So there's only been one case in Goma. Oh. That was a person, a pastor, who had travelled from Beni, which is one of the epicentres of the current outbreak, and he was returned to Beni, unfortunately died not long after. There's not been any further cases in Goma since then, although there will need to be continued surveillance and contact tracing of anyone that he may have come into contact with.
There is a vaccine, isn't there, that's being trialled. It's at that stage, and often the technique with the vaccine is to immunise people around a case. It's not a cure as such, or is it at the moment?
No, so there's a couple of vaccines out there. There's only one that's being used at the moment, and you're right, it's an experimental vaccine, although it's thought to be about 97.5% effective, so highly effective. The current strategy is to do what exactly as you've described, something called a ring vaccination, which means if one person is known to have Ebola, you target your vaccines to the people that you think are most at risk, so the contacts of that person. The reason for that is that there simply isn't enough vaccine available to do a mass vaccination programme. Having said that, there's a lot of discussion about whether or not the approach should be changed to try and vaccinate more people within the particularly affected areas. And that may change in the coming weeks with discussions around introduction of a second experimental vaccine, which has also been produced.
I mentioned that Goma is a city right on the border with Rwanda. It's up against the border, isn't it, of the DRC and Rwanda. You're going to travel to Rwanda this week. What will you be studying there in relation to Ebola?
So I'll be going out this evening with a small team of consultants from the UK, and we're going to be going to support the UK Department for International Development alongside the Ministry of Health in Rwanda, looking primarily at their preparedness activities, bearing in mind there's no Ebola outbreak and no Ebola cases in Rwanda. There have never been, but as you've said, it's on the border with a city of almost 2 million people. There's a lot of trade flowing in both directions. And so we need to ensure that there is adequate preparedness and that they have measures in place if there was any cross-border cases to come by. Having said that, the Rwanda Ministry of Health has had 1 year already to be prepared, and I expect that they'll have many of those things in place that we would hope for already.
What would you like to know, Emma and John, while we have Benjamin here? We only have a minute left.
I'm just
missed things.
Intrigued because obviously we had the outbreak a few years ago, and I think probably people who aren't experts sort of thought, hoped naively that it was done with. I mean, is it a shock to you that it's come back?
Absolutely not. We're going to see these outbreaks more and more. Ebola comes from animals, which we traditionally did not get in as close a contact with. But as communities move closer into forested areas that we didn't traditionally live in, and the way that markets are working, we're going to see more of these cases cropping up, not just Ebola, but other viral hemorrhagic fevers as well.
John?
I'm just curious, you know, we've got governments turning inwards, you know, with all of the pressure to spend less on foreign aid, and you mentioned the UK government. Do you think there are enough resources, and do you think, is there a danger that as governments turn inwards, these sorts of crises are going to get less attention from the international community?
So that's a great point. So I think that there hasn't been enough funding for the outbreak, and this has been, you know, condemned in a way by many people, including the WHO, said very loudly with the announcement of the public health emergency of international concern that, you know, you can't just say you're going to fund something, you need to actually give the money. When it comes to inwardly or outwardly, one of the points with this outbreak where it's particularly complex, you know, that it's happening within an area of an active conflict and there's some serious issues around trust of the community. Having an increased response doesn't necessarily mean having an increased number of international or foreign people on the ground, because that actually might have the opposite effect to what you want. So yes, they need the money and the funds and the resources. They don't necessarily need a massive influx of outsiders coming in.
Benjamin, many thanks. Benjamin Black, UK doctor and Ebola expert.